Good morning, everybody. We're going to look at this. This is the day of Pentecost. It was 50 days after Passover, and it was one of the major Jewish festivals, one of the major Jewish holidays. And this will go off in just a second, and we will get started. We're going to look at the message that Peter presented, but we're going to look more at the response. The response of the message. When we go through our lives and we present the gospel to different people, whether it be our family, whether it be our neighbors, whether it be strangers on the street, we're going to get different responses. And we're going to look at a very positive response that Peter and the apostles got here on the day of Pentecost. Come on. I'm going to go ahead. In verse 37, at the end of this wonderful gospel message, it hit the people. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like this where a bit of information has literally just kind of blown you over. Maybe learning something, learning information about your family, or some good news, some bad news. But this had a great effect on people. And we're just going to go old school here until this gets going. In Acts 2, in verse 37, at the end of this sermon that Peter preached, it says, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" I appreciate Dick reading this earlier. They were cut to the heart. And it made them really evaluate the situation. Made them evaluate the message that they had just heard. And we're going to look at this and break this down a bit, hopefully, when it says, when they heard this. They. Who were they? These were Jews. They had gathered in Jerusalem. This is 50 days, Pentecost. 50 days after Passover. And many of them had been in Jerusalem during Passover. They had witnessed the Passover events. And during this Passover, an event occurred that people were still talking about. This was a Passover unlike others. This man, Jesus, had been crucified. And they're finding out that they were part of it. They were finding out that part of this is on their shoulders. And this separates this Pentecost and this Passover different. It's not even 2 months. It's 50 days. Not even 2 months after the crucifixion and the resurrection. If we go back in the chapter to verse 5, it says, "And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven." That's who the they were. They were there for Pentecost, and they were devout men. This is not rabble. This is not, you know, the dregs of society. They were devout. Now, I do not want to spoil the end of the story. Don't like those people that are coming out of a movie. Oh, I can't believe so-and-so died. I'm going in to watch it. Don't tell me what's going to happen at the end. These were Jews. They were religious people. They were devout. They're going to need to be baptized. This is a wonderful verse for us in our daily lives as we run across other people, whether it be the people living next to us, the person that we see, I don't know about you, every day I go to the grocery store. You know, I know where things are better than some of the employees do, but that checker that I see every day, some of them good, devout people. They were devout people. They still needed to be baptized. Doesn't mean that they didn't believe in God. They believed in God. That's why they were there. They were keeping the traditions and the practices and the teachings of the Jews. So when they heard this, they were devout Jews in Jerusalem to observe the day of Pentecost. When they heard this, heard what? What had they heard? We know that they're going to be cut to the heart. It's just going to be a slap in the face, one of those eye-opening experiences. What is it that they heard? If we go back earlier in chapter 2, before verse 37, it talks about how the Savior had been prophesied about. In fact, Peter will even quote some of the Old Testament prophecies that they are going to pick up on. Being devout Jews, knowledgeable Jews, they're going to recognize some of these quotations from the Old Testament. And Peter talked about that they had crucified the Savior, Jesus. Many of them were still in town and had been there, and who knows how many of them had witnessed this great event. In verse 22, Peter says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst." They had seen these things. Many of them had seen the miracles, the healings, the healing of a blind man, the resurrection of Lazarus, heard about him walking on water, etc., etc., and it just keeps going. Many of them had heard this and had seen it. As you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you, not others, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. This was part of God's plan from the beginning. And you killed him, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For the last 50 days, that was one of the biggest news stories on the street about how this Jesus and these Christians are claiming that Jesus had risen from the dead. People were trying to, you know, the Romans and the Jews were trying to keep it hush hush because that would destroy everything they were trying to accomplish. But the word on the street was this man had risen from the dead. In verse 36, and I'm glad Dick in the scripture reading went back to this, and it says, therefore, and Peter wraps up his sermon, wraps and encapsulates the whole thing in this verse. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. That is tough to swallow. That God the Father made Jesus, and it was everything in God's plan and purpose that he would die for mankind. You killed him. And now you know why they were cut to the heart. They realized what they had done. I don't know about you. There's been a number of times in my life where I'll do something or say something that when I realize what I had done or said, it's just like, oh, take those words back. As they're coming out of my mouth, I'm like chasing them. And it hurts somebody. Or it has consequences and it's just like, it hits you in the face. This is one of those for them. They realized what they did. They were cut to the heart. It's not just you say, oh, I'm sorry, and it smooths over. Or you do something, and I am so sorry, I did not mean that. Okay. They were cut to the heart. They were beside themselves. 2 Corinthians, Paul writes to the Christians in Corinth, and in chapter 7, verse 10, it says, for godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. There is a big difference in regretting something you do and something you say on the motives behind it. Sometimes people regret doing something because they got caught. Sometimes people regret because now they're going to have to pay the consequences. I've got to go to jail for this. Man, I wish I wouldn't have done it because now I've got to go to jail. Not sorry because of what they did. The hurt they caused, the damage they caused, or whatever. There's a difference in sorrow. There's godly sorrow and there's worldly sorrow. These people were cut to the heart at what they had done. In Acts 7, verse 54, we see a very similar situation with Stephen. Stephen was preaching not too different of a sermon than Peter had preached. He was probably inspired by Peter. The message that he had heard not too long before. He delivers the same message that this Jesus was the Christ. And you killed him. But there was a different response. There in Acts 7, it says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed at him with their teeth. We're angry at what we're hearing. We don't like you for what you're telling us. And it says, then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. They killed him. We don't like what you're saying. We don't like what we're hearing, so we're going to kill you because of it. Different reaction than on the day of Pentecost. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, now, the apostles, Peter and the apostles, these are the ones that were delivering the message. These are the 12 that had been with Jesus. They were the ones addressing the crowd. They had been prepared for this moment by Jesus for 3 years. Jesus had trained them, had prepared them the best he could to take over the reins when he ascended back into heaven. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, which they got, they are carrying out this duty. And they cry out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Instead of grabbing stones and stoning Stephen like they did, they don't do that with Peter and the apostles. They want to know, what shall we do? I will do anything. Have you ever been in one of those situations? And for the recipient, don't drag him through the mud. Don't make him jump through hoops. Sit up, roll over, bark, you know, all that. It was a simple remedy. A simple remedy. They realized their error and they did not want to face the consequences. I will do whatever. Whatever you tell us, we will do. They wanted to know. They needed to know. I've got to know how to rectify this situation. The answer was in verse 38. They cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter told them. It was a very simple solution. Then Peter said to them, repent. You don't have to jump through hoops. You don't have to crawl through the mud. You repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You've got sin in your life. Not only did you sin in what you did, but there's sin in your life. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let's see what they do. They didn't grab stones and attack them like they did with Stephen. In verse 41, just a few verses later, it says, then those who gladly received his word were baptized. That was the result. What a simple solution. What must we do? Let me tell you what you need to do. You need to repent and be baptized. Is that all? It's as simple as that. It's kind of like Naaman, who had leprosy and went to Elijah and wanted to know how to be cleansed. Go dip in the Jordan 7 times. No magical potion, no ointment, no shots, no nothing. Dip in the Jordan 7 times and you'll be cleansed. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And skipping over to verse 47, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Those are the results. There was the situation. Peter and the apostles gave them a sermon, a powerful sermon, a short sermon. It was a relatively short sermon. That Jesus, who you had seen, you saw his miracles, you saw his teachings, that Jesus, God sent him and you killed him. We did. What must we do? They were cut to the heart. And the answer was simple. Repent and be baptized. Now, we have sin in our life. The answer is the same. Repent and be baptized. If we've been baptized, the answer is still the same when we sin. Repent. And I leave that with you today. If you've got sin in your life, the answer, what must we do? Repent and be baptized. It's not my solution. If you don't like the solution, take it up with Peter. He's the one that said it. Repent and be baptized. For those of us that have been baptized and have sinned and stumble, the answer is simple. Repent. Don't let another moment go by. If you haven't been baptized, you're not saved. You can be devout, a believer like the people in Acts 2. But if you have not been baptized, you haven't had your sins washed away. And if you've been baptized, just because you've been dunked doesn't mean that you're safe at third. If you continue to stumble, you have to repent and walk that narrow way. If you need to respond to the invitation today through baptism, through repentance, through if you need prayers of the congregation, I urge you, while Daryl leads us in the invitation song, come forward. Let your needs be known. We've got a room full of Christians here that will pray with you, encourage you, study with you, whatever your need is. Please come forward as we stand and sing.